الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our readings in مسائل الجاهلية التي خالف فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل الجاهلية the affairs of the days of ignorance, that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam he opposed the people of ignorance, meaning whenever he was sent as a prophet and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were affairs that the people were upon from falsehood and from misguidance and from deviation in creed and belief, and likewise from actions of worship and manners and conduct and dealings and transactions, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he directly opposed them in that. And he warned from that, and he called to the opposition of that, and to clarify the falsehood of that. These affairs here, they are the affairs of the days of ignorance. And likewise, we have seen that after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has clarified these issues of falsehood and misguidance, and he has shed light on these affairs, and the people went straight, and they were able to purify their souls from these affairs, those who followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And although these issues have been removed in general, there are still remnants of these affairs remaining in the people and remaining in the ummah. And this is the reality of life, that the evil remains by the wisdom of Allah azza wa jal as a trial and a test, to test the people who is going to be best indeed, who is going to fall victim to that and to their desires, or who is going to choose the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the preference of that which is beloved to Allah over that which is beloved to the soul, and follow the revelation and the legislation that was sent with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our previous class, we're reading the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَةِ. That al-Islam, it began as something strange. Al-Islam, it began as something strange. And again, this is because in the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people, they were upon ignorance, and they were upon falsehood, and they were upon all different types of misguidance and deviation. They were upon associating partners with Allah azza wa jalla in worship, and they were upon deviation in creed and belief, and they were upon disbelief, waliyadhu billah. And they were upon falsehood and oppression and all different types of injustice in the social dealings and the likes with the people and with the women and with the family and in dealings and in transactions. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he appeared with the guidance, calling to truth, calling to light, calling to the pure creed, calling to tawheed, calling to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with all actions of worship, calling to honesty and truthfulness in statement and action and in creed and in deed, calling to everything that is good and warning from everything that is evil. He became very strange at this time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise those who followed him. But after many years of striving to establish the legislation and to establish the tawheed and to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people, they began to accept Islam in groups. And in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people, they're accepting Islam in waves. And they were accepting Islam in abundance. And after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the call continued and the propagation continued, and the companions, they carried that in the best manner, and they bore that trust honestly and truthfully, and they carried the deen of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam far and wide to the different lands, until the lands from the east and to the west, they were all conquered and opened, and the people's hearts likewise were conquered and opened, and they seen the truth, and they accepted the testimony, and they bore witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Islam had a great empire, until little by little, according to the wisdom of Allah azza wa jal, the enemies of Islam, they plotted and they planned against the Muslims, and they eventually were able to weaken the faith of the believers and to weaken the hearts of the believers and to introduce these affairs of jahiliyyah again into the creed and into the belief, and to turn the people away from the true creed and the true faith and the true tawheed and the obedience of Allah and striving in the path of Allah, and calling them to show preference to this worldly life and to show preference to to the dunya over the hereafter until the hearts became weak. And at this time, many of the believers, their lands were conquered and overcome, and they were split and they were divided. Yet although, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised, there will always remain a group from this ummah who are strong and steadfast and upright and victorious upon the truth. As he mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. That there will always remain a group from my ummah. There will always remain a party, a group of individuals from my ummah who are victorious and upright, steadfast upon the truth. Victorious and upright, steadfast upon the truth, and no harm will come to them from those who oppose them, nor from those who abandon them, until the command of Allah comes, meaning until the end of the days, and they are upright upon this affair. And they are upright upon this affair. But this group here now, in the end of the days, becomes very strange again. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned: وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا. And Islam, it will return to be just as it began, strange, something strange. The creed of Tawheed and making the religion purely and entirely for Allah Azza wa Jal, and devoting all acts of worship with love and humbleness and fear and reliance and trust and sincere faith to Allah alone and to nothing from the creation. Attaching the heart to Allah alone with love and hope and trust and reliance and fear and sincere faith, and restricting oneself diligently to the sunnah and the laws and the legal ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who follow this path, they become strange in the end of the days. They become strange in the end of the days. And this is how Islam, it began until it became strong and flourished through the lands. And then likewise, little by little, it became weak again. But there will always remain that group, and they will be the strangers from mankind holding fast. And they are those people who know the religion, and they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of Allah azza wa jal and the rights of at-tawheed. And they know likewise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rights of the messenger and the requirements of the testimony. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They know those requirements and those conditions, and they know what it necessitates and what it means. And they strive to fulfill that and to abide by that and to comply to that and to live by that. In this manner, they become strangers, even amongst the ummah, and even amongst the Muslims, especially in the end of the days. And likewise, Umar, radiallahu anhu, has been narrated from him that he mentioned similarly like this, and he said, "Yushiku an tunqada urwa al-Islami urwatan urwa idha nasha'a fi al-Islami man lam ya'rif al-jahiliyyah. Idha nasha'a fi al-Islami man lam ya'rif al-jahiliyyah. Yushiku an tunqada." Urwa al-Islam, urwatan urwa. That soon the bonds of Islam, they will be undone. They will be loosened bond by bond. They will be loosened bond by bond. Tunqadu urwa al-Islami, urwatan urwa, idha nasha'a fil Islami man lam ya'rif al-jahiliyyah. If there are individuals who grow up in Islam and they do not know the affairs of jahiliyyah. They do not know the affairs of jahiliyyah. And this is from the strong and the deep understanding of Umar radiallahu anhu, what he's saying here. That the bonds of Islam, they will be undone and they will be loosened one by one, bond by bond. Bond by bond, when will this occur? Whenever there are people who grow up and they are raised in that Islam and they do not know al-jahiliyyah. They do not know the affairs of ignorance and the affairs of misguidance and the affairs of falsehood. And this is because, as has preceded, a person, if he's not aware of falsehood and he's not aware of misguidance, then he will fall into that. He will fall into that from where he could not perceive. So all of this here is an indication of the obligation and the great importance of learning these issues. Learning the details of that which is contrary to al-Islam. Learning the details of that which will violate al-Islam from every aspect, whether from the foundation, yani removing it entirely, or bringing great deficiency and weakness to it, weakening the faith and weakening the deen. To learn about these affairs in order to avoid them upon clarity. And this is from the wisdom of the author and authoring the likes of these works. And if a person truly wants to know the beauty about Islam, then let him see the reality of how detestful and disgusting and how foul and lowly disbelief is. If a person wants to realize the beauty and the sweetness of it, tawheed, then he should learn in the filth and the lowliness of a shirk and associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person, he wants to know the beauty of Islam, then let him look at the falsehood of Christianity. Let him look at the falsehood of Judaism and the false creeds and the paganism that they have and the deviation that they have in their books and the contradictions that they have in their books and the newly invented affairs that they have in their religion that has no foundation and no basis. And let him look at the rest of the people likewise, from the mushrikeen, from the pagans and the polytheists, from the Buddhists and the likes, and the Hindus, and from those who worship cows, and those who worship stars, and those who worship fire, and likewise from the Indians here in America, those who are worshiping the spirits, and the others from the deviant sects and the deviant groups who are worshiping saints, and the likes like this. All of this is falsehood. All of this is falsehood. By seeing this falsehood in great detail, one will see the beauty of Islam. By seeing this falsehood and this evil in great detail, a person, he will realize the great favor and the blessing of Islam and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, masail al-jahiliyyah, the affairs of al-jahiliyyah, the affairs of al-jahiliyyah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He begins in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Qala Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala, هذه أمور خالف فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما عليه أهل الجاهلية الكتابيين والأميين مما لا غنى للمسلم عن معرفتها. So the author, he says that these affairs here, these issues here and these things that we discuss now, they are from those affairs that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he opposed the people of the days of ignorance from that which they were upon. And he from the Kitabiyin and the Ummiyin. The Kitabiyin, yani Ahl al-Kitab, min al-Yahudi wal-Nasara, from the Jews and the Christians. They are known as al-Kitabiyun, Ahl al-Kitab, because they are people who follow prophets, and they have a book that they follow from the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Although they had distorted that book after their prophets, and they had changed much of that which was revealed to them, and they have used that and sold that to gain personal benefit in this life from authority and from position and from rank and from wealth and property and prosperity and the likes, and they changed the book according to their desires and their whims, and they used that to rule the people and to control them and the likes like this. They, although they have deviated in this manner, they're still considered from the people of the book. And this is contrary to the Ummiyin. And the Ummiyin, what is intended by them are the illiterate ones, any meaning the Arab. These are the types of people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent to. Whenever he came to the people in his land, and they were Arab, yani in Mecca, and they were Ummiyun, meaning they were the illiterate people. And this was the case for the majority of them. And the Ummiyun is the plural of Ummi. Ummi. Wal Ummi huwa man la yaktubu wa la yaqra. Al Ummi, he is the one who is not able to read, nor is he able to write. Wa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana Ummiyan. He was an Ummi, meaning he was not able to read or to write, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, نحن أمّةٌ أمّيّة لا نكتب ولا نقرأ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, we are a nation of أمّيّة, meaning an illiterate nation, and we're not able to read or to write. And this was the case with regards to the majority of the Arab in those days. Not all of them, some of them could read and could write, but the majority of them were not able to read or to write, and they were known like this as al-Ummiyin. And this is likewise because they didn't have a book to follow, and they didn't have a revelation or a prophet that they were following specifically. And they did not have knowledge of these affairs. And they were from the illiterate ones. And as for the other people who were present at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the Jews and the Christians. And they are known as Ahlul Kitab or Al-Kitabiyun. Al-Kitabiyun. And Kitabiyun is the plural of Kitabi. You know, who is Kitabi? Mansubun ila Kitab. Because he's from those people who follow one of the previous books, from the Torah or the Injil, any from the followers of Musa alayhi salam, who followed the Torah, or from the followers of Isa alayhi salam, who followed the Injil. Although after the death of Musa alayhi salam, and after Isa, he was raised to the heavens alayhi salatu wa salam, the people, they changed these books, and they distorted them by the permission of Allah and by His wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala, until the coming of this noble prophet, the final and the seal of all prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was sent to these people, and these people, they were upon a number of different affairs, in creed and in belief, and in likewise in actions of worship and devotion. Also with regards to their manners and their dealings and their contracts and their trading and the methodology of their life. Certain affairs that they were upon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed them entirely. He went against them and did not agree with them. Rather, he warned from that way, and he called the people to leave these affairs. And this is what he's talking about. So the author, he's saying that these are those affairs that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed his people. He opposed his people with regards to the people of al-Jahiliyyah, whether it's from the people of the book, the Jews and the Christian, what they were upon from the affairs of falsehood, or whether it was from his own people, from the Ummiyin, from those later Arab who were upon shirk and paganism and polytheism. But then he mentioned a great point, rahimahullahu ta'ala, encouraging the reader and the listener to pay attention and to be diligent, to study the likes of this work, mimma la ghina lil muslimi and ma'rifatiha. And if these are those affairs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed the people of Jahiliyyah from that which they were upon, from that which the a Muslim has, great need. He could never be free of learning these affairs, meaning he is in great need of learning these issues. That he is in great dire need to learn and to know about these affairs. Every Muslim is in great need and dire necessity of knowing these affairs in order to avoid them and stay away from them. In order to avoid them and stay away from them. Because those people who remained upon what they were upon at the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they did not respond to his call, then they died a lowly death. And they have the worst of all destinations, and that is the hellfire. Those who died upon Jahiliyyah, and those who died upon disbelief, and those who died upon Christianity, or those who died upon Judaism or paganism after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have the worst of all death, waliyadhu billah. And after leaving this life, they will never see mercy again. So therefore, it's incumbent for a believer to know these affairs and to avoid them and stay away from them. To avoid them and to stay away from and to be free from them and to be free from the people who are upon that way likewise. And to be free from the people who are upon that way likewise. The author, he says, فَالْضِدُّ يُذْهِرُ حُسْنَهُ الْضِدُّ وَبِالْضِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. He mentioned a line of poetry as an encouragement likewise of this affair. فَالْضِدُّ يُذْهِرُ حُسْنَهُ الْضِدُّ. That the opposite of something, it clarifies the beauty of its opposite. The opposite of something will clarify the beauty of its opposite. And then he says, وَبِالْضِدِّهَا يَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. And by the opposite of something, the things become clear. Things become clear. It's here written as it's one line of poetry. And in the Arabic language, the lines of poetry, they have a beginning and an ending. And in the first portion and the second portion. But, and it's written in this manner, like this is one line of poetry, with the first portion and the second portion. But the people of knowledge have clarified that in reality, there's a two different portions from two different lines of poetry from two different individuals. From two different individuals, and somehow they have been put together in this manner. And it has been popular or well known to be mentioned like this. And Allah knows best. This is because of the relationship between the two. And the meanings are good and they go together. Although these are two different portions of two different lines of poetry by two different authors. فَالْضِدُّ يُذْحِرُ حُسْنَهُ الْضِدُّ وَبِالْضِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. And by the opposite of something will clarify the beauty of its opposite. And by looking at the opposite of something, things become clear. Things become clear. So this is no doubt a benefit. If a person, he wants to realize the beauty of health and prosperity and wealth and having safety and security in his body and his home and his family and his occupation and the likes like this, then there's nothing that will clarify that greater to him if that's stripped from him. If he's tried with disease, or if he's tried with poverty, or if he's tried with fear, or loss of safety and security, or the likes like this. At this time, he will realize the great bounty and how beneficial and how good it is to be healthy and to be strong. The one who has tried with the sickness before, he was healthy, and he did not realize the blessing of health. And then he's tried with the sickness and ailment in his body, in his bones, or the likes like this. He's not able to move like he used to move. He will realize the blessing of those joints and the blessings of those bones and how they move so freely, and he's able to get up and move quickly and take care of his knees. We're doing these things daily. But one will not realize how great this is until this is taken from him. And he tastes the difficulty and the hardness and the bitterness of having bones that are slow moving, or bones that are heavy, or they do not want to bend or move in the way that they used to move. Or whenever he moves, he has pains now. He's not able to get up quickly and move fastly. Rather, he's feeling pains and hardship and difficulty. At this time, he'll realize how beneficial and beautiful it is and good it is to be healthy. And likewise, any safety and security, and likewise prosperity and wealth. All of these affairs will truly be clear for a person whenever they're stripped from him and he sees the opposite of that. Whenever he tastes that himself. And this is something that those brothers who have accepted Islam, they can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to. No doubt a person may think that or say that, yani, alhamdulillah, an individual to be born into al-Islam and to be born a Muslim is a great blessing and a great favor. But likewise, and this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, He creates whom He wills. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal, He's the one who forms you in the wombs as He wills. And He creates some people and they are born to Muslim families, and others they are not. And this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and there's wisdom in that. My point is now is from the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, that some of those people who lived a lifetime of disbelief, and they have tasted the bitterness and the foulness of the streets of this life in America, and the falsehood of this life, and the lies like this, and the different scene, and the pop culture in the different ways, and the different avenues of falsehood, and of Christianity, and of other religions likewise, and the foul ways of this society. And he's seen that firsthand, and then from there, Allah guided him to al-Islam, he will see that there's a great difference. That there's a great difference, and there's no comparison whatsoever. And it's as if before he was dead and now he's alive. And it's before he was in darkness and now he's in light. And this is a great favor for a person to realize these affairs in order to know firsthand the foul way of disbelief and the foul way of everything that is contrary to the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from this aspect, a believer, he will thank Allah, because now he sees falsehood and he knows that it's evil, and he felt that and dealt with that, and he experienced that, and he will never go back. He will never go back. He will never go back to that falsehood, into that evil, into that foul and lowly way, into that agony and pain and hardship and difficulty and heartache that he was facing, chasing his desires and chasing his whims and the likes like this, after he had tasted the sweetness of faith. The sweetness of faith and the sweetness of al-Islam and the goodness of striving to be upon a good path and follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truthfully. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us steadfastness upon His religion until we meet Him. Until we meet Him by His grace and His mercy. But this is the point now. To be able to identify falsehood directly. To identify whether a person he has experienced it before or whether he simply learned about it by studying the likes of these works. To know it, to identify it, to know that it's a foul path, a lowly way, to know that it's harmful and the outcome of that is not praiseworthy, and that there is great danger in being tried and tested with falsehood. And being tried and tested with falsehood, and the worst of all falsehood is in creed and belief. The worst of all falsehood is in creed and belief, and then likewise along with that, following one's desires. Following one's desires and following the falsehood of the whims of a person, and falling into that which is impermissible and not allowed from the impermissible lusts. All of this is from following whims and desires, and all of this is from the affairs of al-jahiliyyah. So a Muslim, he must learn about these affairs. A Muslim, he must learn about these affairs. And then by learning about them, he will see the beauty. He will see the beauty of the guidance that he's upon. He will see the beauty of the way that he's been guided to, alhamdulillah, the beauty of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person, he wants to see the beauty of tawheed, then let him look at the evils of shirk and how the people, they're calling on graves. They're calling on people who are not even alive. He's calling on a dead person. He can't even benefit himself. He can't even benefit himself. And even in his lifetime, the individual himself is using the restroom and is in need of food. And sometimes he's hungry. Maybe he died hungry, or he died sick. And then a person after that is going to go and call on him. Call on him in a language he doesn't even hear. All of this is from the greatest falsehood. The sound mind will know that somebody who's dead cannot help you. He cannot guide you. He cannot direct you. He cannot benefit you. This is from the greatest of falsehood. And then the fact that a person would attach his heart to that, this is even more foolish and even more foul and more, yani, severe in ignorance and in misguidance and deviation. And then on the other hand, to attach one's heart with love and hope and fear to the Creator, the one who provides and sustains all things, the one who gives everything a shape and its form, the one who has command and authority, the one who has created us from fluid in the womb of a woman, the one whom we're returning to is going to ask us, and he's not asked about anything that he does, but we're asked about what we do, to put our trust in him, the one who's alive and never dies, to put our faith in Allah Azza wa Jal, and the one who's alive and never dies, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. This is beautiful. This is a good way. Alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful way. And likewise, the one who wants to see the beauty of the sunnah, then let him look at the falsehood of innovation. Let him look at the falsehood of innovation. For example, some of the Sufis, what do? They come into the masjid, or they even go, for example, in the days of Hajj. Maybe one of them will be on Arafah, on the day of Arafah, from the greatest days of the years and the greatest gatherings. And instead of humbling themselves and calling on Allah with tears and hoping for forgiveness and mercy and calling on Allah for the good of this life and the hereafter, you'll find them dancing around. You'll find them dancing around. Who on Arafah, on the day of Arafah. Who dancing around and the likes like this. Sometimes they'll even bring drums, they'll bring the duff and they'll be banging and they'll be singing and they'll be chanting and playing around while the Hujjaj, Al-Muwahidun, Ahl Sunnah, they're begging Allah and crying to Him and begging for forgiveness and for mercy and the goodness of that day. These fools are over here singing and the likes like this. Or if you go to some of the other lands and you will find in their masajid, you will find these people of Al-Jahiliyyah spinning in circles. Spinning around in circles, dancing with a big thobe on, spinning in a circle, round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And then they're claiming that they're getting near to Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is a means to worship Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, spinning in circles. Spinning in circles. Who are the people that spin in circles? Huh? No, never mind them. Any beside the you're right, that's them. But I mean who? Huh? No, besides them. And what kind of people normally would spin in circles?
National.
Huh? You spin in circles? Sometimes? The kids. The kids, they're the ones who spin around in circles, right? They're playing together like this in the yard and they'll spin in circles and get dizzy and fall over. Ha 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 ha. And laugh like this. And he's somebody who's a child. This is so this is already a foul way that a grown man he will stand in the middle of the room and start spinning around in circles. This is already a foul way. A grown man, he would do that. A grown man, he will stand up, put his best clothes on, and spin in circles over and over and over and over and over and over for like 30 minutes or more. Or 30 minutes or more. Say, what's wrong with this man? Worse than that, they ascribe it to Islam. Worse than that, they ascribe it to Islam and saying that this is the deen and this is something that's beautiful and good and something that's legislated and praiseworthy. That's legislated and praiseworthy in Islam. So this is falsehood. This is falsehood, but they've been tried by that because they have no knowledge of the sunnah. They have no knowledge of the pure and the true creed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They've been tried by people of knowledge who are deviant, ulama as-su, and they've been tried by their desires and their whims, and they've been tried by these affairs of jahiliyyah. So the people, they're either going to follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or they're going to follow the desires of the people. They're either going to follow the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or they're going to follow the desires of the people. They're going to follow their own desires and the desires of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned this in His book. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ. And He's addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. That you must know, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if they do not respond to you, then they're only following their desires. فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ. يعني يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. That if they do not respond to you, if they do not follow you and follow you in your religion and that which you order and that which you command, beginning with the Tawheed and singling out Allah alone for worship and obeying you in that which you order and obeying you likewise in that which you prohibit and complying to you and believing in you as a messenger and following your sunnah and your laws and legal ways, then know that they're only following their desires. So the people of knowledge, they have mentioned here from the likes of this verse that there is two paths in this life. There's the path of guidance, and this is following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following his sunnah, his laws and legal ways in all aspects of life, or following desires. or following the desires. So a person, he's either going to be following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon clarity, upon insight, why he's doing what he's doing, why he's saying what he's saying, why he's going the direction that he's going, why he's moving the way he's moving, or he's going to be following his desires. Or he's going to be following his desires. These are the two paths. So a person, he will either follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the rule of Allah azza wa jal. And if the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the rule of Allah azza wa jal, the rule of the hukum of Allah azza wa jal, the judgment of Allah azza wa jal, the deen of Allah azza wa jal, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. Allah, he says in his book that whoever obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed he has obeyed Allah. So the only way to obey Allah is to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in reality obeying Allah. And no one can truly obey Allah except by obeying and following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the one that the final revelation and the seal and the final legislation was revealed to. He is the one who was given the guidance, and he is the one who's given the clarification, and it was entrusted to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey that to mankind. So by following him, a person, he will truly be able to reach the pleasure of Allah. He will truly be able to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, he mentioned in his book, likewise, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they truly love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you, and He will forgive you your sins, and Allah, He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ. What's the verse after that? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَكْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا وَقُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Say the verse again. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Say to them, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to obey Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if they turn away, then indeed Allah, He does not love those who disbelieve. And if they turn away, then indeed Allah does not love those who disbelieve. So turning away from the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a type of disbelief. And if a person, he turned away entirely from the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is disbelief. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. And indeed Allah, He does not love those who disbelieve. And indeed Allah, He does not love those who disbelieve. Those who disbelieve. So the point is now that one, he will either follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he will follow his desires, or he'll follow his desires. So he will follow the guidance, or he will be upon the ways of jahiliyyah, or he'll be upon the ways of jahiliyyah. So in order to truly be upon the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he must learn the guidance. He must learn the truth and detail. And likewise, he must learn the avenues and the ways of jahiliyyah, and the people of jahiliyyah. So now this is what the author, he mentions here in this introduction, and this is very beneficial. He says, now فَأَهَمُّ مَا فِيهَا وَأَشَدُّهَا خَطَرًا عَدَمُ إِيمَانِ الْقَلْبِ بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِنْ ضَافَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ اسْتِحْسَانُ مَا عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَمَّتْ الْخَسَارَةَ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ وَكَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. So the author, he says now, rahimahullah ta'ala, that in the most important of these affairs, the most important of these affairs, and the most dangerous is that the heart will not believe in that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. This is the most dangerous affair in life. The most dangerous affair in life, the worst thing that the people of Jahiliyyah were upon, is that they belied the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not believe in that which he was sent with. We understand that. The heart, he says here, and this is again an indication of the great wisdom and the deep understanding of this author, beginning again this text, just as he began the last text that we studied. What was that? Al-Kaba'ir, the book of the major sins. And the very first chapter he mentioned, when he started beginning these major sins, Kaba'ir, Al-Qulub, the major sins of the heart. And he referring to the importance of the heart, and the foundation of the affair lies in the heart. So he's saying now, with regards to these affairs of Al-Jahiliyyah, that the Prophet ﷺ opposed them with, and he contradicted them, yani from every angle and every aspect, the most important of them, and the most dangerous, and the most severe of them, عَدَمُ إِمَانِ الْقَلْبِ بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The fact that the heart will not believe, the heart will not believe in that which the Messenger ﷺ came with. And that was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. And this, and he could mean directly what is understood, that one, he will belie the Messenger entirely. And he will not believe in him. And he will believe that he is not a messenger. And he will believe that he is not a prophet. And he will believe that he did not receive revelation. He will not believe in him. And he will believe that he is not a prophet. And he will believe that he is not a messenger. And he will believe that he did not receive revelation. And they will belie him and call him a liar, for example. This is what they're saying, that the heart will not believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that what comes from that? They belie in the Messenger, they belie the Quran, they disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the worst of all things, that the heart will not believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, from here we see the greatest blessing, the greatest favor, is that the heart will believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the heart believes in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the Messenger of Allah, that he received revelation from Allah, that the Quran is the words of Allah, the speech of Allah, and it's not created, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with guidance and revelation from the Lord of the worlds, and that his path is the good path, and it leads to the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. This is the greatest favor, to believe in him. To believe in him and then to follow him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise. So the most dangerous of these affairs and the most severe of them is that the heart will not believe in that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. Is that the heart will not believe in that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And again, this is with regards to no matter who it may be, whether he's a Jew, or whether he's a Christian, or whether he was a pagan, anyone who disbelieves, anyone who his heart did not believe in that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, and then he died in that manner, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, then indeed he will be from the dwellers of the hellfire. He will never see mercy again after that. It has been narrated by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one who Muhammad's soul is in his hand, لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُدِيٌ وَلَا نَصْرَانِي ثُمَّ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِالَّذِي جِئْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ, that I swear by the one who the soul of Muhammad is in his hand, no one hears about me from this ummah, and no one from mankind after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears about me, no Jew nor a Christian, and then he did not believe in that which I came with, except he will be from the dwellers of the hellfire. So this is the greatest loss. This is the greatest failure, that a person, he will live in this life and he will die and never believe in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the most severe of them. But I want to make a point now likewise, that this is the case for those who disbelieve in him. But likewise, even some of the believers, they're tried with this. They're tried with this, and they have doubts about some of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And there are individuals who ascribe to Islam likewise today who are striving to strip that belief from the hearts of the believers. And from the means that they're doing that is to make the believers have doubts about Sahih Bukhari, and to have doubts about Sahih Muslim, and the likes like this. And there's a great effort right now to try to call the people to doubt in these affairs, to doubt in the authenticity of Sahih Bukhari, and to doubt in the authenticity of Sahih Muslim and Sahihain, so that people will have doubts about that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And this is a great effort that the enemies of Al-Islam, they're making. In these days particularly, there's individuals, the scholars that know them as Al-Mustashriqoon. Al-Mustashriqoon. Al-Mustashriqoon in English, it means the Orientalists. The Orientalists. Who are the Mustashriqoon? They're individuals who learn the Arabic language. and they studied the Quran and they studied the Hadith in order to corrupt the Muslims and to try to pick out faults and to mislead the believers and to fight Islam in this manner. So they're disbelievers. They're disbelievers from the Europeans and the likes. Some of them from France, been famous individuals, and they have even written books and great works in Hadith. And likewise in Quran, they have great efforts for many years. It's nothing new. And they learn the Arabic language and they try to bring doubts and the likes to the hearts of the believers. And from that is what they're doing today with regards to Sahih Bukhari, specifically trying to make the people to have doubts in the authenticity of that. Yani, so that the belief in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be stripped from the hearts of the believers. Waliyadu billah. So this is something that is major. And likewise, others, they have doubts. They have doubts of some of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And this is also because of al-jahiliyyah. And also because of having ignorance and not understanding the principles and the fundamentals of the religion. Not learning the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Not learning the proper creed and the belief. And one of them, he'll read a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, oh, this, I can't understand this with my mind will never believe this. My intelligence can never understand this. It will never believe this. If this is like this, then it has to be like that. And the likes like this. And they'll belie the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They'll belie the narrations with regards to the affairs of the hereafter and the issues of the unseen, because their minds are not able to understand these affairs. And so they claim. So therefore they will belie them and deny them, or they'll doubt in them, and they'll call others to doubt in them, and the likes like this. Even some of them, they have degrees, and some of them, they have doctora, he's a doctor, and the likes like this. And they're calling today to have doubts in these narrations that do not go in accordance with the intelligence of some of these people. Waliyadu billah. But a believer, those who truly believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the methodology of Ahl Sunnah is that if the chain is authentic to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they believe in it 100%. Absolutely. And they will apply it to the best of their abilities, and they have no doubt in that. And those narrations that have the strongest chains is that which is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And likewise, after that in the Kutub al-Sitta, yani from that which has been authenticated by those who are qualified from the scholars of Hadith, yani past and present. So to have doubts about something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, this is from the worst of the affairs. To disbelieve entirely, waliyadu billah, this is complete failure. Then on the way to that path is to have doubts about that. To have doubts about something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. To have doubts about something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. Rather, in order to truly be a believer in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to fulfill the rights of the testimony, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, one, he must believe in everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Tasdiquhu fima akhbara. To believe in that which he has informed. To believe in that which he has informed, beginning with the Quran. It's the speech of Allah. And it's not created. Beginning with the Quran. And then likewise after that, beginning with everything that he has informed us about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to believe in that entirely and to submit and to surrender to that. And to have no doubts in that whatsoever. So those people who are called into these affairs to having doubts or to putting their intelligence in front of the text and the likes like this, this is all falsehood. And this is from the ways of misguidance and the ways of al-jahiliyyah. Even if he's a doctor, even if they call him sheikh, even if they call him alama, even if he has a big shimag on and a beard, even if they put him on TV, even if he's got lots of followers on YouTube and Twitter, and he's calling to the likes of these affairs, without a doubt, he's from the people of jahiliyyah. He's from the people of jahiliyyah to not be deceived from these affairs. One of them who's a leader of calling them today, his name is Salih Maghamisi. I don't know if you've seen him and heard about him, but he's calling to the likes of these affairs, doubting and these narrations that are not in accordance with his intelligence and the intelligence of the likes of him. Waliyadu billah. So this is something to know about. The worst and the most severe of all of these affairs of jahiliyyah, the worst and the most severe of the affairs of the days of ignorance, is that the heart will not believe in that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. He says, فَإِنْ أَنْضَافَ إلى ذلك استحسان ما عليه أهل جاهلية تمت الخسارة. And if you add along with that, The fact that a person he will find nice and good, he will find appealing that which the people of Jahiliyyah are upon at this time, then he is completely lost. And his loss has been finalized and has been sealed. He's mentioning two affairs here. The first one is that the heart will not believe and that which the Prophet ﷺ was sent with. And then if you add along with that, the fact that a person, he finds it nice or good, or he believes it to be appealing or attractive, the ways of the people of Al-Jahiliyyah, and in the ways of those who oppose the Prophet ﷺ, he likes their ways. For example, in our days, he likes the ways of Jay-Z, and those people are upon the way of Jay-Z, for example, the rappers, the famous rappers, and the popular people. He likes those ways. He likes how they walk. He likes how they talk. He likes the type of hats they wear. He likes the type of glasses they wear. He likes the type of pants they wear. He likes the type of jackets they wear. He likes to look like them. He likes this type of thing. At this time, his loss has been completed for him. He's a complete loser. He's completely wiped out. For the fact that the heart will disbelieve and that which the Prophet ﷺ came with, this is one thing. And then if you add on top of that, the fact that the person, he likes falsehood, and he likes the ways of Jahiliyyah, he likes the ways of Beyonce, he likes the ways of these famous rappers and these football players and these basketball players who are upon clear and blatant disbelief, who belie the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and they're upon falsehood and they're upon evil. Thereupon falsehood and thereupon evil. He starts to like that. Likewise, تَمَّتْ خَسَارَتُهُ. Then his loss and his failure has been completed. The author, he mentioned a verse as a proof for this. He says, رحمه الله كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ وَكَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And just as Allah the Most High, he says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ. And those who believe in falsehood. Those who believe in falsehood, meaning they love that and prefer it. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ. They love falsehood. They prefer falsehood. They believe in falsehood. They believe in the false ways. You need the ways of the people of Al-Jahiliyyah. The ways of the people of Al-Jahiliyyah. The ways of falsehood are the ways that are contrary to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ. And they disbelieve in Allah. Meaning they disbelieve in that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الخاسرون. Those people who gather these two affairs here, believing in falsehood, preferring the ways of al-jahiliyyah and the ways that are in opposition to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they disbelieve in Allah, meaning they disbelieve in that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. Ulaika hum al-khasirun. It is these people here; they are the true losers. They are the true losers. Wa iyadhu billah. I had a benefit to read from the statement of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, related to this issue here. The importance of following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But I'm afraid if we start reading it now, it's not long, but I don't think we have enough time. So we will postpone it to the beginning of the next class, insha'Allah ta'ala. And to summarize, it's about mentioning the one who ponders over the realities of this life and the situation of the existence today. One will realize that all evil in this life, in this world, in general, and likewise in one's own life specifically, it comes from opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mm. And all good that comes about in this life, in this world, likewise, in general, and likewise in oneself, it all is brought about by obeying and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mm. Then he said, likewise, if you look into the hereafter, and the issues and the affairs of the hereafter, and you ponder and you look, you'll find that all evil and all hardship and pain and agony that happens in the hereafter and all disgrace, it comes from opposing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And all happiness and all joy and all delight in the hereafter, the means for that is to obey and to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's a great benefit he mentioned in his book Ar-Risala At-Tabukiyya. We read it in the next class, in the beginning, inshallah. And then we begin reading the first issue that he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And with that, we can take any questions or comments or corrections any of the brothers may have. Yes.
So there's some people that they consider themselves intellectual, very educated. So when they hear hadith, they try to comprehend it, or they try to question it, saying, oh, this doesn't make sense to me, like you mentioned earlier. How do you respond to someone like that? Is the question clear?
Yeah. The people who try to put their minds forward, ahead of the text, First, it requires belief. First, you have to mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has testified, أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, that he does not speak from his desires. It is nothing but a revelation that is revealed. So he has revealed revelation. So do you believe that he's a messenger or not? So if they believe he's a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you believe that whatever he says is revelation. Whatever he says, it is revelation. And that he does not speak from his desires. And everything that he says is truth. And likewise, from that which he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told one of his companions one time to write what I say. And he pointed to his mouth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ إِلَّا حَقٍّ, because nothing comes out of this except for the truth. He pointed to his mouth like this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, write what I say, because nothing comes out of this except for the truth. So whatever he says is the truth. And this is the requirement and the condition for the shahada that one bears witness that he's the messenger of Allah. So this is the first thing. Yeah, that you believe in this in the first place. And then according to the issue that he is belying, for example, that doesn't go in accordance with his mind. Yani if he's belying some of the attributes, then you're going to address him with regards to the principles of the attributes. And the likes like this. And if he's denying something else, then you address him yani accordingly. So it's going to, wallahu a'lam, depend on what he belies. And from the things that they say, for example, that they distort the attribute of al-istiwa. They destroyed the attribute of al-istiwa, that Allah, He rose above His throne. So they say that if a person, he rose on top of a ship, if the ship goes down, then what happens to the person on the ship? Huh? He's going to go down with the ship. If somebody is on a plane, for example, and the plane goes down, he rose up on a plane. He got on a plane, right? And the plane goes down, what happens to the person? He goes down with it. So he's saying then that means that the people who was on the ship or on the plane, they're in need of the ship. They're in need of the plane, or else they're going to go down. So therefore, if Allah rose above the throne, then He's in need of the throne. He's in. So like this, they say, because of this and because of this. So we say, first of all, you have resembled Allah to His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He rose above the throne in a manner befitting His majesty. He didn't rise above the throne in the manner one of us rises onto a boat, or rises onto a ship, or rises onto a plane. It's not the same. So the word is the same, and the general understanding yani, is the same, that there's rising there, but how Allah does it is different from how we do it. Mm-hmm. And likewise, whenever Allah descends, He descends. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that in authentic narrations, more than one, every night. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner befitting His majesty, not the manner that we descend. So they say, well, if he descends, then that means that he's going to have to come off of his throne. And they say, well, because of this. But that's how a person descends. A person descends according to himself. But as for Allah Azza wa Jal, then he descends in a manner befitting His majesty. Not like anything in the creation. Not like anything in the creation. So first you have to get out of your mind resembling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation. There's nothing like Him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So you have to, you know, these people like this, you have to untie that knot. And their mind of resembling Allah to the creation. That Allah, He has the ability to do all things, and that there is nothing that resembles Him, and that whatever He affirmed for Himself, or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed for Him, we affirm for that for Him, without liking it to the creation whatsoever. Without liking it to the creation whatsoever. So this type of thing, if you really want to dispute with this person, it's going to require detail. And it's not like a simple 1, 2, 3 type of answer. You understand? But if the person appears to look for the truth, then you try to, if you're able to help him and to debate with him in that which is good. But if he's just one of those people who follow their desires, then you just leave him. You don't debate with the people of desires. You don't debate with the people of desires. Only the people of knowledge will do that whenever it's needed. Whenever it's needed. Even the people of knowledge, they will not do that. Unless it's needed. Unless it's needed. None. Al-Maghamisi. Salih Al-Maghamisi. Who's that? He's one of these doctors. He used to be an imam in a famous masjid. And he said many things the people of knowledge have refuted. From that music is permissible. And from that, now that he's going to start a new madhhab. That there has to be a new madhhab that has to be started. Mm-hmm. And he hopes that Allah is going to start that madhhab at his hands. And this is because there are some new rulings that need to be established, and that the madhab didn't come with so far. And also, there's a lot of narrations that need to be weeded out because they don't go with the mind. And he mentioned the likes like this. And so he's from those callers of misguidance, from those people that are the scholars, they muta'alimun, they pretend to be scholars and not really scholars. And he's not known for classes and lessons or for authoring works or teaching. He's not known for having lots of students following around him and learning from him and getting fatwa from him. He's not known for none of that. He's just known for showing up on TV one day talking about these affairs like he knows. What do you have, Billah?
He said before that one thing worse more than what he said, right? He said there is no difference between Sunni, Shia,
and Sunni. Allah understand. Allah understand. They're all our brothers, huh? Allah understand. Allah understand. Yeah, yeah. Allah understand. Yeah, that's what they do, yani. Allah understand. Allah understand. May Allah guide him and protect the Muslims from his evil. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.